But at this point, I think that they either brought him up too quickly or they've mishandled the situation just a little
I mean, we've talked a couple times about this, and so somebody like Bobby Roode, who's, I mean, you know, was extremely well known in TNA, and they bring him to NXT. To me, that feels like a step backwards. You know, maybe, and I don't know, maybe in his career and going to the WWE and even NXT would be a step forward, but I don't know. I would say straight over, just like they used to do in the WCW days, you know, when either a superstar would come from WWE to WCW and they wouldn't say a fetching word, and all of a sudden music would hit and they would come out and they'd be like, you know, and then the, you know, the announcers, well, what is he doing here? Why is he here? He's not supposed to be here. He doesn't even belong to WCW, you know. And but something like Bobby Roode, why not do something like that for him? Why would not just surprise and bring him over to the main roster and almost put him in a squash match for the US title and put it around his waist? Or is that a slap in the face to other performers?
You know, I think, do you want my honest opinion now? Here we
Well,
go.
that's why we
I remember when Vince McMahon made the statement that he was not going to hire anybody from any other promotions, and he was just going to work with NXT and bring people up. Then he made the comment that when somebody else was signed from a different promotion, they would have to go to NXT. And I'm wondering how much his ego might have gotten in the way of saying, well, this would be a great storyline to just all of a sudden have a Bobby Roode come in and make an appearance, maybe as a heel, maybe as a face, coming in to save somebody. Something like that, I think, would be more effective than saying, you know what, he's going to make his first SmackDown appearance next Tuesday. Well,
Yeah. Well, and same with like Samoa Joe. You know, there is absolutely in my mind no reason why somebody with the name Samoa Joe that has been around and you know, in my opinion, has paid his dues should have gone to NXT first. I mean, you know, Samoa Joe should have come right smack onto the main roster and been put right up on the top card, you
Well, you
know.
know that pay-per-view match that Joe had with Brock Lesnar was one of the best matches of the year. I would put it
I
in the
would agree
top
with
10.
that. I would agree with that. It was decent to see Brock him actually. I think that he made Brock Lesnar put on a little bit of a match, you know. That's always been a frustrating thing for me to see, you know. I mean, AJ Styles came right over, but you know, Vince, I believe I've heard several things on social media and other things, and you know, and I believe everything I see on the internet. But
Of course.
AJ Styles wasn't even supposed to be, he was supposed to be a mid-carder. Vince brought him over and had no plans of putting the title on him, but then due to some injuries and some other things and how over he was with the crowd, they, you know, put him right up there
Oh, when he
and
made his first appearance, the crowd went bananas.
How about the disappointment of the year for you?
Oh man, how many pay-per-views do you want to list? You know, well, okay, there's two of them. Survivor Series really sucked. I mean, for how hyped that was, it turned out to be an absolute disaster. And
I didn't like
two,
it.
what are we doing with NXT? Like, let's get those wrestlers up and into the. We have the biggest roster, you know, in WWE. Use your NXT development and give them a chance. Some of those NXT guys are really making a scene over there. I mean, are and when I say making a scene, they're creating entertainment, which is what the WWE is all about. But they're not getting an opportunity in the ring in front of a, you know, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, I think you and I might have talked about this earlier in the year. Maybe NXT should have a tournament, you know, and say the two tournament winners, a bracket type tournament, will meet each other at a WWE pay-per-view. I think that would be kind of fun. Maybe you would get someone. I'm trying to remember who's on the roster now. Would come up, and then they would either win the tournament in NXT and be able to wrestle somebody of their choice at a pay-per-view, or have the two bracketed winners meet each other at a pay-per-view. Okay. I think that would be fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, that's a huge disappointment. Like I said, Survivor Series was, I think, atrocious, to say the least. Your disappointment of the year would be?
Breezango. The Fashion
Good choice.
Files.
That's a great choice.
And I said...
You've been very vocal about this, too.
Yeah.
Through all our podcasts.
I think they've done some really good work. And I go back to the time they were doing the tag team championship with the Usos. And Tyler Breeze comes up, and he's wrestling, and he's doing the imitation with the cleaning. And then he does the mop. And then he comes out as the old woman. You know, it was funny. And then what happened? You didn't see them for a while, and when they come back, they're doing this gimmick with the Fashion Files and the Ascension being their friends, and now the squash matches against the Bludgeon Brothers just doesn't work.
Favorite rivalry of the year would be for you, who?
I would say the Usos
versus
the
New Day. Yeah, I'm with you on that
one. I loved that rivalry. It was great.
Did it amaze you, that athleticism inside that ring?
The Hell in a Cell match was one of the best matches of the year. It was incredible.
In fact, we're going to get to our match of the year soon, but I just want to put this out as a stat. Well, not a stat, but just as a did-you-know fact. Bleacher Point, ESPN, Cage Side Seats, and Wrestling Angle did their matches of the year. That match was in the top five of every single one of those.
Wow. That's incredible. Good work by you, man.
No, I just found that really intriguing. How good of a match. Because that was my match. I mean, I thought about that as a match of the year, but I went with something else.
I did, too.
But... yeah, we point that out. It's a really huge stepping stone for both of those tag teams.
Exactly,
Dave.
Yes.
So, yeah, New Day.
I'm going to go with Shane McMahon and Kevin Owens.
A good one. Good choice.
That's pretty good, dude.
It is good. And now Daniel Bryan's involved. And are they setting up Daniel for a heel turn? And Shane and Daniel are going to be disagreeing with each other. Let me throw out the scenario. Will that be how Daniel Bryan gets back in the ring?
I know they said he's been cleared.
That's what I've been reading. So is that an angle that they're doing for him to be able to get back in the ring, and they'll say for one last time or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know.
They have a plan for Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon that we don't know yet, and I think it could be very interesting.
Do you think that Daniel Bryan, if they did clear him, Would he have the same success that he did in 2 years ago, 3 years ago, again?
At first, the crowd would eat it up. The universe would be all over it. Now, whether it would sustain, I can't say. But
where's your crystal ball?
The way the crowd's the crowd still does the yes chants all the time.
I thought that you were when Dr. he comes Dave, out, the future teller. Don't you have a little gypsy in you or something too? Come on.
No, I have one of those magic eight balls. I shook it up and it says, try again. Shaking it up.
Try again.
Try again.
Say your future looks bright.
You got that look. It looked like
what was that? What was that movie where that Madame Giselle or whatever the with the machine and she spit out the card and it like.
Oh, with Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
Big? Yeah. Yeah. I love that movie.
You have one of those.
Love that movie. And if you go old school, you're talking about Johnny Carson with the great Karnak the Magnificent, Sim, Sala, and Bim. That's the name of my three children, Sim, Sala, and Bim. But bump. So, yeah, I'm old school, dude. Old school. Shane McMahon and the KO feud has been good. Hell in a Cell match was incredible.
There was a lot of pretty good small feuds. Do you notice uh-huh. how they're not, I don't know, like, do you remember back in the 80s, you know, when a feud used to go on for almost a year, you know, think back to some of those old Hulk Hogan feuds with, you know, the Real American and some of those other slimy heels, and you know, they would go on for a long time, and the WWE lately is just like, it's like somebody wins a title, somebody, in the next pay-per-view, they defend it. It's like it either goes two or three pay-per-views, then it's done. Which sometimes that's good.
Dave, really, do you have a most improved wrestler? Is there anyone who stood out to you that really improved? I asked because I have one, but I just wanted to ask you. I know I'm kind of throwing on this to the last spot.
You know, I'm going to kind of go with, wow, man, that is so tough. I will go with Jinder Mahal on that one.
Okay.
Just because I thought his, from the time they started giving him the push until that last pay-per-view, his work in the ring improved and improved and improved and improved. His mic work is still kind of iffy, but that's why they have Lenny and Squeaky. So who do you have as the most improved wrestler?
I'm probably going to get a lot of grief for this, but I feel like AJ Styles really, really improved in a lot of ways. I didn't think his mic work was that great before he came back to WWE, and I felt like it's gotten a lot better since, which has helped his reputation as a wrestler, at least as a face wrestler, towards the crowd. And I feel like his in-ring work is actually improved. There's a lot more to it than just a drop kick and a fly off the rope.
Oh, he can do anything.
Yeah, and I feel like it's gotten better, and he looks like he's more in shape. So I said AJ Styles, and I was just kind of interested. I mean, like I said, fans, you're welcome to disagree. Please disagree.
Not with me.
But it's tough. But just seeing where he was and where he is now, I feel like he's made some huge improvements.
Yeah, I do too.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
The greatest wrestler in the history of wrestling? He was so good that he wore an outfit with the words "fair play" written across it. Like, I'm so good, I don't even need to cheat to beat you. It's kind of my idol.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
I sentenced them to deletion.
Depends over to diapers.
Delete.
But I thought we'd take this opportunity to talk about some of the things that happened. I mean, we had controversies. We had the videotape of Xavier Woods and Paige, where they were getting a little bootio.
Let's make love.
If you didn't have controversy in wrestling, you wouldn't have much fun, now would you?
There's not a lot of that left anymore in professional wrestling, in my opinion. I mean, you know, think back to the Attitude Era and stuff like that. I mean, could you imagine if some of that stuff was going on today?
Yeah.
I mean, there is absolutely no way that, I mean, with the PC era we live in, oh my goodness. Let's talk for just a sec, if you feel it necessary, about a couple current heels on the roster right now. You know, okay. You've got Elias, you know, and I mean, I think he's doing a pretty good job. You know, he's fun to watch, and he's funny to, you know. I love the guitar stuff. And
did you see the Monday Night Raw from Chicago on Christmas night?
No, I did not.
I have some audio from that.
Whatever you
on.
No, I just wanted to tell you.
Stop.
Listen, man, I'm trying to help you out here. Please.
Hey.
No, just
no.
This one.
Stop.
Time. Don't just come on.
Stop.
So, you know.
Come in. John.
You know, I was willing to give you a chance, man, and I was trying to tell you before you started playing your song not to say anything bad about Chicago. Look around you, man. People as far as the eye can see, they're excited, they're making noise, they're chanting at the top of their lungs. You actually play okay, but every single song you play, you get to a point where you call people in the audience jerks. No.
I feel like I speak the truth, you know? I speak the truth.
No, man, no. They're just trying to tell you how they feel. They're not the jerks. You're being a jerk. It's Christmas, it is. Hit it one more time.
Well, it's Christmas time in Chicago. Oh, it's Christmas. Day. I can't imagine a better place to spend my holiday. Why don't you take it away, John? You feeling good?
So have yourself a merry little...
Oh! Saint Nick.
Just,
so, I'm glad to see Cena putting a few of those guys over like that. You know?
Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
So, you know, if I mean, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, I think, are doing a really good job right now as heels.
You know what I like about the Sami Zayn heel dynamic is the way that he still has that happy-go-lucky, he comes out to his same music, dancing around, but now it's, you know, he's getting heel heat because of what he did at the pay-per-view, pulling from Hell in the Cell when he pulled KO out, and then he's done some other heel things, and I love that dynamic. I love that they kept him with the same character, but now he's a heel.
If I may, a couple guys that I think that have completely failed in their heel dynamic in 2017 was The Ascension. I mean, that was a complete joke. Oh. Did you want to know it was a good movie, believe it or not, that the WWE did? It's a couple years old now, but was it 12 rounds?
Well, 12 rounds. Cena?
No, that one was good, too. The 12 rounds with Randy Orton wasn't very good, but the 12 rounds with Dean Ambrose, where he literally had 12 rounds in his magazine, that was actually a good movie.
You know, I watched that one day. Just probably within the last 3 months, I watched it when I was home ill, and it really was. It was kind of like a diehard movie, but he did a great job in that.
He didn't have to talk a lot.
He
was, that's kind of off the subject. I just thinking while you're talking about WWE movies. I guess we could put this – I'm going to put this in with on your list you sent, overhyped superstar, and I'm going to lump – I'm going to create this as a 3.5 because, you know, we were talking about halves. The overhyped women's superstar, I think, is Charlotte Flair.
Oh, that's a hard one to say, but yeah,
I'm tired of her, dude. I'm sorry.
You know what?
I'm sorry. I'm tired of her.
I will support you 50%. You know, when she won the title again, and this was after Rick had almost died. And she's walking up the ramp, and she's already told the fans that, you know, her dad's home recuperating, and she's walking up the ramp holding the title belt, and then Rick comes out, and you see the total joy on her face to see her father. That was a great moment.
I know.
But
come on, you know, way to capitalize on I guess everybody does it, right? When Dale Earnhardt Jr. won the race right after his dad died, you know, I mean, that was like, totally staged, right? I mean, you know, it was,
I agree.
I guess it's the same thing. It's all entertainment, right?
Now that you've talked about overhyped, I'm going to say Shinsuke Nakamura.
I will agree with you on that. I will support you 110% on that. And I will also add to that and say Brock Lesnar.
Boy. You know what? I'm going to support you on that. I don't like the part-time. I don't like the part-time angle. I honestly don't think Brock Lesnar would be any near well over like he is without Paul Heyman.
So
if he was by himself, I don't think he would still be in the business.
Let me go run with that for a second. So there's a difference between maybe there is, maybe there isn't. In my mind, there's a difference between wrestling fans and WWE fans, okay? You and I would say, are wrestling fans, you know? You know, because we enjoy other promotions, we enjoy independence, you know, things like that. And I will 100% say, at least 99.9% say, that wrestling fans dislike Brock Lesnar. And they dislike everything that is going on with him right now. So, along with that, why the hell is he still there? Why does he get such a pop? Why do his matches get so much attention? And why does he get so much attention. If everybody is sick and tired of him like you and I are, why? What's the deal? Does he really draw that big of? Is he really that big of a cash cow?
He wouldn't be with me, but you know, when you look at merchandise sales, maybe he's selling a lot of those Suplex City T-shirts.
Okay, so let me tell you that. Let me think. Let's rewind back to, was it 2017? It was 2017 when you and I met in Salt Lake and went to WWE, wasn't it?
It was February. The Road to WrestleMania.
And
yeah.
I'm gonna stick my foot in my mouth on this one because who were you and I when his music hit? Did our jaws drop to the ground?
It was Brock Lesnar.
So I just completely discredited my everything that I said in my previous statement because I was pretty excited to see Brock Lesnar in Salt Lake City.
But I didn't believe he'd be there. I just didn't. So
I don't think I was hyped. I think it was just surprise. I was just like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe he is in Salt Lake, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I still don't like him, and I still think he's pretty well overhyped.
We're not the WWE. They must see something. Maybe he gets TV ratings. Maybe on pay-per-views the ratings are up when Brock's there. I don't know.
Coming back, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to give you our superstar of the year. Who is it? Who's your superstar of the year? Is it Seth Rollins? Is it Roman Reigns? Is it John Cena? You'll find out. It's Turnbuckle Trash here, presented by Geeks of the Industry Podcast and
Cool 103.9.
MSR.
MSR.
Coming back.
Chunky Larry, you forgot him.
You think of men with menacing, icy stares that could freeze their opponents cold. Brutes who beat their foes into submission.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
You know, Dave, we've seen some really, really great matches through 2017. And like I said, when I was looking through the list of matches and I kind of went through one and some of them I even rewatched just to make sure I liked it. It's hard to argue with maybe five or six matches at the top.
There were some really good ones.
There were some incredible matches. Dave, our match of the year in your opinion.
I go to Lucha Underground, during Ultima Lucha Tres and, the hardcore match between Killshot and Dante Fox. It was, and I'm not a huge fan of hardcore wrestling, but this one was violent. It was bloody. They told an incredible storyline with Killshot and Dante Fox having been in the special forces and something that happened to both of them where they hated each other now. And then it was one match that still is in my mind because they did the drop through the plate glass windows from up high. Both wrestlers not only bled, but it wasn't a blade. They didn't cut themselves. They cut themselves when they fell through the glass. Their backs, their legs, their chest all had cuts. And it was one of the most violent matches I've ever seen. And it stuck in my mind. And like I said, I'm not a big fan of hardcore wrestling. I wasn't a big fan of ECW. But this one really stuck out in my mind because not only was it incredible in the ring, but the story itself was well told. That's why I pick it as my match of the year.
SummerSlam. Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe, Braun Strowman.
Good choice.
That's over 1,000 pounds inside of a frickin' ring. And it was mass chaos, all for the Universal title.
Uh-huh.
Brock Lesnar, throughout the time, before SummerSlam, has showed his dominance through the whole entire WWE. Like, he was unstoppable again. But within the first 6 minutes, he was speared and thrown through an announcer table not once, but twice. Then he was chucked off the top rope all into the ring. He was thrown around like a rag doll. And somehow, can't explain it to me, came victorious out of the match, but more impressively, came out in one piece. That explains what happened to the freaking three other wrestlers that just had to go battle with him, too. That match was, for me, in a WWE standpoint, violent. Now, it wasn't like the Lucha Underground match, but for that match and for that big of men to go through that kind of a beating was unreal.
Yeah.
That was as violent as it could have got, and it was awesome. I loved it. That is my match of the year.
That's a...
You know, I would say in the WWE... God, it's a tough one for me. I don't know if I have a match of the year. I'll tell you a couple of matches. Matches that I enjoyed. SummerSlam, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, and Samoa Joe.
That was
a very entertaining, you know, very... And that's when I think that Braun Strowman really showed how, you know, of a big of a powerhouse he was in that match.
Mm-hmm. It was good.
And AJ Styles versus John Cena in the Royal Rumble, I think, was an excellent match.
Mm-hmm.
you're going to laugh at this one, but for nostalgia's sake, Brock Lesnar versus Bill Goldberg for the 13 boy. Seconds that it was. Come on, Dave. Come on.
Oh, boy. I did not like that match.
I did not like that match either, but hey, come on.
You saw Goldberg in his first match in the old WCW. That was in Salt Lake City. That was his first televised match.
Yeah, yep. But, you know, I don't think that's going to necessarily be my match of the year for the WWE, but hey, come on, right? For nostalgia's sake.
And then when the WWE was having all the illness before one of the Raw pay-per-views, I'm trying to remember which one, it was in the fall, but they had all the illness and Bray Wyatt couldn't perform because of that viral infection, and they brought in AJ Styles to take on Finn Balor. That, to me, was one of the matches of the year also. Mm-hmm. And they only had they didn't have any time to build it up. They announced it on Friday that it was going to happen, and then on Sunday was the pay-per-view, and he had to fly all that way. And if you ever get to watch that match, the match itself
is
awesome. But if you will watch the crowd reaction, oh, my word, it is unreal. Hmm. And all it was because Finn Balor and AJ Styles were both in the Bullet Club, and the Bullet Club, even though they weren't within it together, is so well known within the fandom of not the WWE universe, but wrestling fans. Mm-hmm. And the pop that the crowd got when they saw Finn Balor and AJ Styles go in, you know what? I don't have it down as my match of the year, but I would say it's a good second or third. Let me just go back a little bit. I want to talk about some other professional wrestlers that I kind of put in my top 10 that are outside of the WWE. People like Kenny Omega, Cody, in ROH, and then Johnny Impact, Johnny Mundo, whatever you want to call him. And then, you know, you add at the end of the year, Tim Storm with the NWA getting so much publicity that was neat.
Negative, but somebody his age and to basically not really anybody knowing anything about him to go literally overnight because of a Rolling Stone article to an internet sensation, you know. I think that was cool.
I did too. I really enjoyed watching some of his matches on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood too. Nick Aldis is now the champion. He won just a couple of weeks ago. But still, I think that the publicity he got for the NWA will pay off. And I'm really excited for Billy Corgan and the NWA at this time. So that's just some of the things.
Absolutely. What do you want to know? My favorite women's wrestler?
Yeah, maybe the one you think had the biggest I hesitate to say the word impact because, you know, is it Global Force, is it TNA, or is it Impact? We don't know yet. But the one who made the biggest splash.
People might disagree with this, but I'll tell you my favorite of the year that I was glad to see. And another one that I was like, why is she in NXT? you know, was Mickey James. She's, what, in her 40s?
Yeah, late 30s or 40s, yeah.
She is smoking hot, and she can still, I mean, she is in excellent shape, and she can, I think she's doing a really good job of showing these young whippersnappers the ropes, literally.
I think you're right. I still enjoy her work in the ring. Just, she's incredible.
I don't know if she's my favorite. My favorite women's wrestler of all time is Becky Lynch. And I think that 2017, the WWE completely failed Becky Lynch. You know, they did absolutely nothing with her. And, you know, and I was so mad to see early in 2017 when she did that stuff with on the WWE Network with Finn Balor, and she was talking about how they, you know, her and Finn Balor got their start together, and they trained in the same gyms together, and you know, I thought that was so neat to see, and what a great opportunity that was to capitalize on such a cool situation when Finn Balor was in his hype, you know, before he got injured, and then they just didn't do anything.
And now she's, quote, injured, off filming a movie. I think the same movie with The Miz. I think she's going to be in that Marine number 94,433. I don't know. I think it is a Marine movie.
Is there any halves in there, or is it just?
They're all full numbers, you know, whole numbers. Okay. Yeah, they're all whole numbers. So I think when she comes back, she'll do a program with the Riot Squad that will be very good, that could help put her back towards the top again, because I think she's an incredible.
Did you want to know it was a good movie, believe it or not, that the WWE did? It's a couple years old now, but was it 12 rounds?
Well, 12 rounds. Cena?
No, that one was good too. The 12 rounds with Randy Orton wasn't very good, but the 12 rounds with Dean Ambrose, where he literally had 12 rounds in his magazine, that was actually a good movie.
You know, I watched that one day, just probably within the last 3 months. I watched it when I was home ill, and it really was. It was kind of like a diehard movie, but he did a great job in that.
He didn't
have
to talk a lot. That's kind of off the subject. I'm just thinking while you're talking about WWE movies. I guess we could put this I'm going to put this in with on your list you sent, overhyped superstar, and I'm going to lump. I'm going to create this as a 3.5 because, you know, we were talking about halves. The overhyped women's superstar, I think, is Charlotte Flair.
Ooh, that's a hard one to say, but yeah,
I'm tired of her, dude. I'm sorry.
You know what?
I'm sorry. I'm tired of her.
I will support you 50%. You know, when she won the title again, and this was after Rick had almost died. And she's walking up the ramp, and she's already told the fans that, you know, her dad's home recuperating, and she's walking up the ramp holding the title belt, and then Rick comes out, and you see the total joy on her face to see her father. That was a great moment.
I know.
But
come on, you know, way to capitalize on a – I guess everybody does it, right? When Dale Earnhardt Jr. won – the race right after his dad died, you know, I mean, that was like, totally staged, right? I mean, you know,
I agree.
I guess it's the same thing. It's all entertainment, right?
Do you have a diva of the year that stood out to you, by the way?
Alexa Bliss, with all the things we talked about before, her ring work, her look. I'm not talking sexually, because she is a very attractive young lady.
Sure.
But the way she comes to the ring, her attitude when she comes to the ring, she's the only woman to held both titles. I like her microphone work. I just Alexa Bliss. What about you?
Oh, it was Alexa Bliss.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Yeah, she was number two on that list, and she's number one on the diva list.
Cool.
As of right now. Like I said, Charlotte Flair made a good running. I thought Natalya was very good. But in the end, Alexa Bliss had all momentum from start to end. And led wire to wire.
Cool.
So it's Alexa Bliss. The granddaddy of them all, as Keith Jackson would once say, your wrestler of the year is...
I think it's going to surprise you.
Okay.
Chris Jericho.
Not at all.
From the beginning of the year until the end of the year, the list of Jericho, the stupid idiot. I love that, by the way.
Yeah, it's good.
And then when he and Kevin Owens, he had the what would they call that in Las Vegas? The celebration of friendship or whatever that was.
Yeah,
it was hilariously so well done. And that's when they started the feud between the two of them. And then at the end of the year, the news that Jericho is going to be wrestling the Wrestle Kingdom against Kenny Omega, we talked about that, and how much press that got all over the world. And once again, I have not been the biggest Jericho fan throughout the years, but I pick him and his work in 2017 the best he's ever done, and he is my superstar of the year.
That is hard to argue with. Mm-hmm. When you said Chris Jericho, at first I was like, wait. And then I thought about it, and of course you explained it, and it makes sense.
Yeah.
Man, he's really going to be missed when he does leave the WWE for good.
Uh-huh.
He's really going to be missed. My guy is Braun freaking Strowman.
Whoa.
And I have a list of reasons why that I typed down just to make sure that I was right. So, I mean, he went through that phase, I think, in 2015 or 16 or whatever, where he was kind of, you know, building around, you know, building himself up. Then he was, yeah, was with the Wyatt family, and he was kind of the muscle of that whole entire group. And then that one fateful night, January 2nd, he made two very just deep jumps, like risky jumps too. One, he beat the crap out of Sami Zayn, just destroyed that. Him.
Uh-huh.
And that was a last man standing match that went 17 minutes long, which, by the way, is a career high for him.
Wow.
And then he came out and interrupted Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, Goldberg, and Roman Reigns at the end of the show. And then it freaking took a double spear by Goldberg and Reigns just to knock the guy down.
Uh-huh.
That got him over with the crowd.
Right.
Whether it was for bad or for heel or for face, that got him over. I mean, the guy freaking tipped over an EMT ambulance all by him freaking self.
Uh-huh.
That is disgusting. Let's see here. I'll give you more. He launched a giant through a steel cage, drove a demon through a ring, as it says. He made the remember when the ring collapsed?
Uh-huh.
That was him, right? He was in there. Social media on Twitter, I don't know how many times it trended Braun Strowman in a pay-per-view. I can't count for you. But the hits on Twitter for Braun Strowman were numerous and unreal. The jump that he has made from being the muscle man behind two other boys to being his own bodyguard is unreal. And the fact that he's still in shape and that he's healthy and he hasn't suffered any, knock on wood, serious injuries.
Well, you know, he did miss about a month.
Was it a month?
Weeks. Yeah, because of that elbow injury.
Elbow injury, right?
Yeah, when I think it was when Roman Reigns speared him into the ambulance.
That's right.
He injured his elbow at that point. But yeah, I can't argue with you at all about that.
And by the way, the guy still hasn't got a WWE title in his hands yet, but he will.
Yet.
Yeah, he will. It's coming.
Can you say WrestleMania?
You think that soon? I say soon, but it's in April. But still.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, unreal. Good choice, my man.
Is there anybody else that you thought of that was battling for that Superstar of the Year that you thought, man, this guy really has my attention, or gal has your attention?
I would go with AJ Styles.
Okay. Well, I think, you know just calling it. Let's go back to your question of the most disappointing gimmick. The whole entire 205 Live roster.
But, you know their ratings went up when they moved Enzo Amore to be their champ.
Really?
And you know, I can say Enzo Amore, but Juice struggles with Enzo's name. Enzo Amore is what he called him for a long time. And boy, am I going to have
Enzo
fun with that.
On made quite a splash on social media go last week about how he signed his name on his driver's license. You haven't seen that yet?
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh my gosh, dude, I'm finding that and sending it to you right now. Signs his driver's license, and in the city that he got his driver's license in, called him and told him that he needs to come back and re-sign his driver's license.
And I am getting this right now, this TMZ report about the driver's license you just sent me. So Enzo Amore refuses to remove...
we're just going to listen to this right now. It's 1 minute long, so let's listen to Enzo Amore real quick talk about his driver's license. Oh, there's an advertisement first, so let's get through the advertisement.
Blah, 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 blah. Let's get through the advertisement. We'll put an advertisement in for cool103.9.com, which you can also now have a link to turnbuckletrash.net. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting news, and we're also on Geeks of the Industry, too. Okay.
I got issues with the state of Delaware, all right? I've been a busy guy lately. Been Abu Dhabi, been India, and my phone has been ringing off the damn hook, and I've been hitting the FU button on the side of it, sending them things straight to voicemail, because I know who it is. It's the state of Delaware, and I know what they want. They want me to come in and get a new signature on my license, because my current signature is unacceptable. Got to get a new picture, the whole nine. So I'm walking in there with a great hairstyle and a great attitude, because I represent myself in court, in life, and in the DMV. And I always win, because I'm the realest champ in a room. And there ain't no way the state of Delaware is going to tell me how to sign my own license. I've been signing this thing just since grade school.
And right now...
I'm fucking EA to me, Delaware.
If you haven't seen the video, I would recommend you go watch it. Because the E and the A, the E is upside down, and the A is, I don't know, how would you say that, Dave?
Well, let's just say it's the male anatomy.
Like
or as Juice would say, the Wachabies. I can't believe he did that. That's unreal. That's
that
hilarious.
Is pretty funny, dude.
Oh! He just grabbed him in the ding ding! He just got him in the ding ding! The testicular claw!
Coming back, we'll put a pretty bow on this episode of Turnbuckle Trash and on the year 2017. You're listening to Turnbuckle Trash presented by Geeks of the Chunky, Larry Jackson, MSR, and
Cool103.9.com.
Dave Denton, Ajay Salson, Zane Peterson. You're listening to Turnbuckle Trash.